Good afternoon. What a wonderful looking group. Yeah, Lord told me this was his favorite group ever. When I was back there, I thought, wow, this must be good. If it's your favorite, it's my favorite too. So that wasn't the scripture I was intending. I was going to speak from something else. Maybe that's what we'll do tomorrow. But when Father Aaron was reading that, it just reminded me. Karen, can you turn that down a little bit? It sounds a little bit like I'm in a tunnel. There we go. Thank you. God had been dealing with Peter. This was like the second or third time he had spoken to Peter. Before, there was a time when Peter left his net to follow Jesus, but it wasn't a final thing. And that's not a condemnation of Peter. This was a process of God calling him. But this is the time when he made the final decision, left everything, and left his business, his family. You know, because Peter's mother-in-law was healed by Jesus, and we know he was married. I don't think he just was a bad person, bad husband, but he followed Messiah, and so he paid a huge price for it. He spent and was spent on Christ. But the story is, and one of the things I love about Peter is just so normal, so human. And the scripture is so transparent about Peter and who he was and how he was discipled in the school of Christ. Because when you think about this, he referenced Jesus as teacher, master. He knew that. He had a revelation. If you go back in John chapter 2, he knew that Jesus was the Messiah from the very beginning, because his brother had come to him and said, "I think we found the Messiah." And so Peter started, that was when he began to follow Jesus, though not exclusively yet. But when Jesus performed this miracle, for whatever reason, it just struck him, wrecked him. They was confronted with who Christ was in a unique way. And I don't know if it was about him being the Messiah. I don't know. He was struck by this, and he fell down at his feet and said, "Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." And then because he was blown away by what the miracle, and it says that his other this ones who were following Christ at that time, they were blown away too. Jesus then turns and looks at Peter in particular and says, "Fear not. If you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men." And they went to took the boat to the shore and left everything and followed him. So we've said this before about Peter and this story a number of times over the years, that Jesus was obviously responding to what Peter's fear was. "Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Peter knew his capacity to sin and to blow it. And he wanted Jesus just to go ahead and wash his hands of him. Why not go? Because he's going to disappoint Jesus and fail Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him and says, "Fear not," he's saying to him, "I'm not arguing with you that you're a sinful man or that you're going to make some mistakes and blow it. But also know your heart." And so he was telling them that. So this is one of the things I've been saying a lot lately. The enemy, listen to the whole thing I want to say, the enemy tries to zero in on our commitment to Christ. And if you're blowing, it's because you're not committed enough to Jesus. So you need to be more committed. But Christianity is really about how committed he is to us. And because he's fully committed to us, we can trust ourselves with him. We can surrender to that. "Faithful is he who calls you," 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "who also will do it." Even when we believe not, he's faithful, because he can't deny himself. That's from 2 Timothy 2:13. And so Jesus was basically saying to Peter, "I'm committed to you unconditionally. But your commitment to me won't always be perfect." So when you look at Peter's story, amazing things. He's the only disciple who walked on water. I mean, there were 12 of them in the boat when Jesus was walking by, and Jesus was wanting them to get the fact that if he's doing something, he's inviting them not just to watch, but to participate. The Christ-likeness. And so Peter's the only one that got out of the boat. Now, he sunk, but not all the way. Jesus took him, and they walked back on the water to the boat. And nobody else had that story in their own heart, their walk, part of their testimony. You know, and so Peter, of all the disciples, he was the only one who openly, when Jesus was saying, because I think they struggled back and forth with why Jesus wasn't taking over the world, you know, and John even, his own cousin, questioned whether he was the Messiah when Jesus wasn't doing it the way John thought he was going to do it. Matthew 16, and Jesus says, what do people say that I am? And they say, well, some say you're John, who've come back from the dead. Some say you're Elijah. And then Jesus looked at his apostles. He said, well, who do you say that I am? Now, why did he say that to them if he knew they were all certain about everything? And only one of them spoke up, and that was Peter. And Peter, Jesus says to Peter, flesh has not revealed that to you. Only heaven could have revealed that to you. Pretty amazing. Only guy who walks on water, the one who got the revelation. Now, obviously, the boys back in, you know, whatever they're struggling with, Peter's the one who said it. But then the very next thing that happens, in that same conversation, Jesus begins to talk about that he's going to have to suffer and die. Peter pulls him aside and rebukes him. And just after just saying, you're the Messiah, and Jesus saying, only to you, Jesus looks at Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he wasn't calling Peter Satan. You understand that? He was rebuking the thing that was being put in his head because of what Peter said. And then he said to Peter, concerned about God's interests, but only yours. It makes you feel uncomfortable to think that I might die. And then the leader, the one disciple, they all, when Jesus went to the cross, every one of them fled. At some point, John came back. Peter didn't. None of them did, except for John. And before the crucifixion, Peter, as the leader, is the only one who openly, if you don't count Judas, openly and publicly denied him 3 times. And yet when you get, and he has this conversation with Jesus, and Jesus said, do you love me? Well, I love you, but it's not perfect love. And he said, well, feed my lambs. And he asked him again, Peter, do you love me with perfect love? He said, Lord, I don't love you with perfect love. I love you with imperfect love, but I love you. Then tend my sheep. And Jesus, but this time he said, do you love me with imperfect love? And Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you, but it's not always perfect. And he says again, then tend my lambs. Now, what's the point of what I'm trying to tell you is that in Peter's life, Peter had moments of failure, but he had moments of real victory. Maybe that sounds somewhat like your life. And what the enemy tries to tell you is that God really can't use you the way he intended to, that you've missed your opportunity to experience all that he wants you to experience because you've... Right? Well, then Peter should be your hero. Because when we get to Pentecost, we talked about this yesterday in church, we get to Pentecost and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and they're speaking in tongues. There's a violent wind from heaven that all the people in Jerusalem heard. And they're thinking that the disciples are drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. And at some point, Peter stands up. He didn't just stand up. What we saw yesterday is the language there is they put him forward. He's the guy who, at Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. Well, that's pretty good. What is the point? Jesus is determined to be good to you. Jesus is determined that we're going to get. And the story of Peter walking on water and getting it right and doing what none of the other disciples did, man, that was Christ-likeness. And then sinking because the things around him got hold of him when he could see the wind. And the story of Christ's commitment to us. When Peter was starting to sink, Jesus didn't go, "Sink, go ahead. I'm so disappointed in you. I'm so done with you. There are such expectations for you." No, he picked him, he grabbed him by the hand before he went down all the way, said, "Help." And they walked back to the boat. Jesus, holding him, walked back to the boat. That's who he is. He was determined, because Peter was willing to want to walk on water, that he was going to walk on water, even if he had to hold him while he did it. Story. That's our story too, isn't it? Don't let the enemy, there is no condemnation in the voice of the Lord. Let the enemy tell you that you've blown it so bad. And don't let the voices of other Christians. You see, it was Peter, the leader of the group, who, for saying he had to go to the cross, Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not concerned with God's interest but man's." Peter was the leader of the group, and Jesus could not entertain the things that Peter was saying to him. There are going to be other believers who have been disappointed in you, whose expectations you've not met at times. And out of their own offense, they just put stuff on you, label you as a failure. You just didn't turn out the way you should have turned out. That's not, because you're still here, aren't you? And Jesus is still turning it out. He's committed to us getting it. He's committed to us getting it. And if you get it and walk with him, it'll be because of his commitment to you. But he doesn't give up. And he doesn't label you anything other than, "Fear not." He said, "You're a fisher of men. None of you are any. None of us are." See, isn't it interesting? You can't be a fisher of men if you don't have a standing before them. And in the eyes of God, you, no matter what's happened. And don't let anybody tell you you've lost that standing. Amen? You'll become slaves to their words if you do. Alrighty. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.